You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. On this Food Friday, we're talking about how to bring some ocean into our winter menus with some seafood. During these long, cold months, seafood can add a tropical flavor to your life and remind you of warmer times.
So we put Food Friday regular Lori Skelton on the case. She has been experimenting with a few different ways of cooking seafood, and she's here to share, as always, what she learned.
We're also taking your calls. What do you think is the best way to prepare seafood? What's your favorite kind of fish or seafood? And how do you include fish and seafood into your winter diet? Call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Lori Skelton is with us. She is one of WPR's in-house foodies and is a Food Friday regular. Lori, welcome back.
Good to be here.
So how did you come up with this topic for Food Friday?
I was actually in Florida over Christmas with family, and the boyfriend and I made dinner for a big group of Wisconsin snowbirds, and we included actually something that we had last year for Food Friday, the Meyer Lemon Scallop Ceviche. And the talk around the table was, you know, scallops are delicious, but they never show up on my radar. I'll splurge on crab legs for a special occasion, but I tend to gravitate toward shrimp or salmon, and I just never think about scallops. So we started thinking about scallops as the forgotten seafood. And then I came back to Wisconsin, and I noticed that every other restaurant suddenly has for its winter menu some version of a pan-seared scallop with wilted spinach and some kind of apple and some kind of bacon. And right now it's on the appetizer menu at Tempest in Madison. It's this week's entree special at the Dining Room at 209 Main in Monticello. Milwaukee Sail Loft is doing a version with a maple syrup reduction. And wow. So obviously somebody in Wisconsin has gotten the idea that you can take seafood, a scallop, but pair it with flavors that we associate with Wisconsin in the winter, with bacon, with apples, certainly with those heavier, sweeter sauces.
I love that you're talking about scallops. It's one of my favorite kinds of seafood. I never cook it at home, and I don't know why. If I'm intimidated or I feel like it's going to be hard to find, what do we need to know about scallops 101 when we're shopping for them?
The scallops that I like to work with are what are known as diver scallops, where somebody has actually individually picked the larger, meatier scallops rather than having just some claw rake a bunch of them up from the bottom. Diver scallops, when they are chemical-free, will not weep all of that soapy liquid into your pan. So you want diver scallops that are dry-packed or chemical-free. And the lovely thing about those is that once you find them, you have to do very little to them. You get a hot pan, put in some butter or olive oil, put them in a single layer, and let them sit there for 2 minutes. Do not touch them. And then flip them over and give them another minute and a half to 2 minutes. That will give you perfectly seared scallops, lovely little crust on the outside, still just a tiny bit raw on the inside. But of course, when you pull them off, they'll still be cooking just a little bit. They won't dry out. They will be not rubbery, the perfect texture to throw into whatever, or in this case, on top of bacon, spinach, and an old Odessa Piper trick. You take a lot of unfiltered apple cider and boil it down until it's syrupy, and that makes an amazing glaze for these things.
Yeah, we'll get more into the details there, but I am intimidated by scallops and a lot of other seafood. I'm afraid that I'm going to take this fairly expensive thing and ruin it, cook it beyond all recognition. It's really that easy to not blow it?
Scallops are a great way to get started on seafood because, yes, they are that easy. I think what intimidates a lot of people is they've had one too many bad seafood dishes at a restaurant where it can be easy to overcook it. If you're slinging a lot of dishes out the door, it can be hard to keep an eye on things. It does require a little bit of attention, but once you do it a few times, you start to recognize from the outside what a well-done piece of salmon looks like. And when I say well-done, I mean, in this case, salmon, because the color changes. And you don't want it to dry out, so a lot of times you'll pull it before it's ready, and then you've got raw salmon to deal with. A couple of times of practice, and you suddenly realize, oh, this is what the color on the outside looks like when it is done on the inside. And the lovely thing with seafood is you can get as plain or as fancy as you want. And in a lot of cases with seafood, the plainer the better to let the flavor of the fish shine through.
Well, let's dig into the dish that you brought and you had people taste test. Rob and I were oohing and eyeing over that earlier in the week. That's this bacon scallop dish. How did you put that together?
As I say, it seems to be showing up all over Wisconsin restaurants right now. So I started off on the internet. A lot of different variations. This one I actually went into without a recipe. I just started throwing things in the pan, see what looks good, see what smells good. After I had my unfiltered apple cider that had been boiled down, and the lovely thing about that is you can do that days ahead. It keeps in the refrigerator indefinitely once you've boiled it down. So I just started off by sauteing some shallots. I added a diced apple. For something with seafood, you probably want a sweeter apple, and if you're sautéing it, you want something that's crisper. So look for a Jazz apple, a Honey Crisp, a Jonna Gold, a Golden Delicious, something like that. Once you had your vegetables in a semi-soft state, then you start adding your spinach. And that's just a matter of a little bit of vinegar to wilt it down and throw on the cover, and it really doesn't need any attention. Set that on a plate, sear your scallops, as we talked about before, put the scallops on top of the spinach, drizzle it with the reduced apple cider, and you're good to go. The comments that we got when we did the taste test yesterday, one person wanted there to be more vinegar in with the vegetables, probably along the same lines where we love red cabbage, like rotkohl, vinegar cabbage with a pork dish. That's going to cut some of the sweetness of the meat, but still give you plenty of flavor. One person did think I should have used more butter in searing the scallops. Now, some of the preparations that I saw online, you could get rather fancy making that sauce. You could reduce the cider, then throw it in the pan with extra butter, a little bit of brandy, get out your blowtorch and flame it if you want. You know, yes, you can do something to make this a little more unctuous. But most people said the light texture and the combination of flavors, absolutely perfect. It makes a great appetizer all on its own, the way I set it up. And then somebody said, well, how do we make this into an entree? And people started talking about nuts for a little bit of texture. Pecans would be great with apple and bacon and scallops. And to stick with the nut, pick a nutty grain like farro or quinoa or amaranth as your side dish.
Now, when did the, I may have missed it, when did the bacon enter into the recipe?
Oh, I'm, good Lord, I missed the important thing.
Yeah, because I don't want to leave out the bacon.
No, you don't want to leave out the bacon.
In fact, I could just have the bacon.
I got ahead of myself because you
set the bacon aside for me.
You saute your shallots and your apple in bacon fat.
Ah, okay.
So you chop up a couple of strips of bacon, fry that up. Don't get it too crispy. You want it crispy enough, but you don't want it brittle. Then you remove the bacon, let it drain a bit, and in the bacon fat, you'll throw in a little extra butter, and that's what you saute your vegetables in. I'm terribly sorry. I got ahead. I was so excited about the scallops, I jumped ahead.
Well, why I was thinking of that was I didn't feel like it needed more butter. I thought it was rich enough with the scallops, with the bacon fat, the bacon. Too much butter would have made it too rich for me. I don't know.
Oh,
about
come
you.
On. It's more butter. Eh. You can never. I'm never opposed to more butter.
Well, for something like this, I could see where if you were playing up and wanting to make the sauce on top richer, I could see that working. But I wouldn't want anything to get in the way of the seafood. That really needs to shine on its own.
It was a really tasty scallop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Could we do this basic recipe with other seafood, shrimp maybe?
I could see using a similar technique. I've never had shrimp with spinach. I have had shrimp wrapped in bacon, and I know that's how a lot of people get introduced to scallops, is scallops wrapped in bacon as an appetizer. So let's think about how could we play with this. Okay, say we started off with a little bit of bacon fat in the pan. We could add some shallot. What else would you add with shrimp? Maybe a little tomato.
Lemon juice, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe. Definitely. If you're wilting down your greens, you'd use the lemon juice. I'm thinking maybe a little bit of fennel. Thinly sliced fennel might work. And maybe a little bit of lighter kale Or maybe some Napa cabbage. If you were to wilt down some Napa cabbage and then bacon fat, and maybe tomatoes, or maybe if you had green mango, and you could maybe even throw a little bit of curry powder in there.
We're going to see this in the office on Monday, right?
I'll try it this weekend. We'll see how it works.
We're talking to foodie, WPR's own foodie, Lori Skelton, about her experiments cooking with seafood over the last couple of weeks in this edition of Food Friday.
And we're taking your calls. What is your favorite way to cook seafood? Do you have a favorite scallop recipe, by the way? Have you forgotten about scallops? Lori thinks they might be the forgotten seafood. Do you still cook with them, and how do you like to pair them up? What about other things that you're eating and recipes? You can share those with us right now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up, we're going to shift gears, by the way, get into some fish in foil packets. We've got a recipe on the Central Time Facebook page. That's coming up after a look at the news with Kristen Durst. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our discussion now with Food Friday regular Lori Skelton. We're talking about cooking fish, scallops, other seafood, food that brings a little ocean to this Wisconsin winter.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a seafood recipe that's a go-to for you, one that's been a big hit with friends and family? What's your favorite way for fish or shrimp or scallops? Or are you kind of like me? A little intimidated, need some advice and encouragement? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Well, let's get into the recipe that's on our Central Time Facebook page. Lori, something about red snapper and tinfoil?
Yes. What's on the Facebook page right now is probably as fancy as you can get. And one of the things I love about the technique I want to talk about is that you can start off simple and still have an amazing meal. I know, Veronica, you've cooked with things in paper, what the French call...
Parchment paper.
Parchment paper, en papillon. Rob, have you ever gone camping and used hobo packets for dinner?
I haven't done that much, but I do it on the grill all the time.
Okay.
With a lot of different stuff.
Okay, yeah. So you've got what we've got here is basically a cross between the two. The elegance of steaming something in parchment paper and the ease of using foil rather than paper. What's cool about Jean-Georges Van Gerichten's packets on top of the stove, your basic proportions are for two people, you're going to take about 12 ounces of protein, whether it's fish, whether it's skinless, boneless chicken breast. You take your protein and you set that on top of about 2 cups of vegetables. If you're using greens, you can maybe go 2.5, even 3 cups. You want the vegetables washed but not dried because you want to create steam inside this packet. Seal up the foil but still leave some room around your food. And then get a griddle or big frying pan, nice and hot on the stove, put in just a little bit of oil. You put this packet in, and after about 2 minutes, the steam inside will inflate. It pops up like Jiffy Pop popcorn. Some people say we should call it Jiffy Fish if we're going to be doing it with an entree. And this takes less than 10 minutes. And you bring this little foil balloon to the table and you slice it open and you've got this perfectly steamed food, delicately flavored. It's not, again, not dry and so easy. Or if you want to be adding more vegetables, actual sauces, some vinaigrette, you can get really, really fancy. And what we have on the Facebook page is as fancy as you can get from the guy that created the Fishy Pop packet, is having snapper with a little bit of dry white wine, shiitake mushrooms, edamame, shallots, and that's set on sauces that have Thai chilies and lemongrass and ginger and miso and fish sauce and tarragon.
So you can go crazy with this. You can keep it really simple. That's what I like about it.
And simple still tastes amazing. This is a really great thing to do with your kids because you can make the packets up and then watch the little foil balloon get created on your stove. And it's a really great thing if you've got picky eaters. If one person wants one kind of protein and one person doesn't eat that kind of vegetable, you stick with the proportions and you can make individual packets. It's so, so easy.
And this is healthy.
Absolutely.
This is not, you know, slabs of butter in this one. Although you could put a little bit in.
You'll want a little bit of oil on the bottom part of the foil before you start layering the food on so that it doesn't burn, because you are working with fairly high heat to get that steam created. But just a little bit of oil on the bottom to keep things from sticking. And no, that's it. It's incredibly healthy.
And for making fish, how does making fish this way stack up against all the other ways of making fish?
Talking before about letting the fish, whether it's seafood or a good Wisconsin trout, shine through, nothing gets in the way. You can make whole fish this way by putting herbs and lemon slices inside the cavity. But if you just want to do fillets and just do a little bit of salt and pepper, You pull that off and you've got this perfectly steamed, delicate fish, and all you're tasting is the fish. It's wonderful. It's a great way to learn what fish is supposed to taste like.
Let's go to our phones now. We've got Lyle on the line in Green Bay. Hi, Lyle.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I was, I can't find, I don't know if you called it dry scallops or whatever, but...
Diver, I think you're thinking of.
And, what's that?
Were you thinking of diver scallops?
Yeah, but the ones that you were talking about, the ones that when you thaw them out, they don't leave all that in.
Or dry pack.
Right, dry pack or chemical free. And you've looked around Green Bay. There's no decent fish store that has scallops on a fairly regular basis?
Well, really, I'm from Milwaukee. And
Am I allowed to say where you can go to in Milwaukee?
Sure.
Can I? St. Paul Fish Company and the Milwaukee Public Market. That's where I generally get my scallops, especially when I'm in Milwaukee. Those people know what they're doing.
All right. Well, good luck in finding those. And I wonder, Lori, I mean, in a lot of places and a lot of times in the year, maybe you can't find fresh seafood. Are there things that work well from frozen?
I'm finding that these days we're getting much better frozen shrimp and frozen salmon. That's if you're going to get started with this, but you know you can't get super fresh, those are good ones to start with because you can generally count on some pretty good quality almost anywhere in the state. And of course, if you know someone who does fish, make friends and tell them you'll cook if they'll bring the protein.
So let's riff a little bit in the little bit of time we have left, Lori. Something I've tried to get a handle on, I just can't cook any that taste that good. Fish tacos. This should be simple, right? What do you recommend for fish tacos?
The problem I've had with some fish tacos is that's an easy place to overcook the fish because you're thinking it doesn't matter. It's going to be in the middle of the taco. And
right, with your slaw. And...
Yeah. It still does matter. You still want to have moist, flaky fish in the middle of that. What fish are you using for your tacos?
I'm probably using something like tilapia.
Do you like a stronger fish?
I would say that I like it, for fish tacos, something mild.
You want something mild. And what are you using to sauce your slaw?
I don't know. Probably whatever, you know, some vinegar.
A little bit of vinegar on the fish wouldn't be bad, but what I love in a fish taco, maybe it's not necessarily the right way to do it, but something with a little bit of cream. Something with a creamy texture, a little bit of fat.
Some mayo? Is that what you're thinking?
Especially if you can... Oh, here's a good compromise. Throw some lime juice in your mayo. Or,
that would be good.
Or queso fresco. Mm. Or Mexican crema. And that... I would need just a little bit of something creamy in a fish taco.
That does sound good.
To make it work. I'm a big cilantro fan, so if you can handle cilantro, you might try making a kind of a lime cilantro salsa and play with that. See what happens there.
It's another nice one for winter. You get some of those tropical flavors.
Absolutely. Lime is one we tend to forget sometimes with fish, and that's always a lovely twist on the citrus acid flavor.
All right. Can you leave us in our last minute with maybe good spices, good herbs to pair with, say, salmon, a nice common thing that a lot of people might not be afraid to work with?
Okay. I'm getting back to apple cider. I'm going to give you one of my go-to recipes. Baking salmon in a pool of apple cider spread with grainy mustard on top. 20 minutes in a 350-degree oven, the salmon comes out again moist, and just enough of an apple flavor has gotten into it, and then you pair the apple with the mustard. That's always a treat. Other herbs with salmon, if you can find a little tarragon, that's lovely. Savory, if you can find it. And fennel or bok choy, that's always a good green to go with.
Sounds fantastic. Lori, thanks as always.
Absolutely.
That's Lori Skelton, one of our in-house foodies, talking about seafood, her steamed red snapper with mushrooms and ginger recipe. She's got that on the Central Time Facebook page.